The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
This is Steph. Up next at 10 a.m. every Saturday morning here on the Club 1220, it's Voices in the Valley. But first, Rebecca Coles joins us from the Farm Store in Stillwater, Minnesota. It's Nature's Notebook. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I am loving that it's fall, my favorite time of year.
Oh, boy, are we so lucky. This weather has just been a delightful treat, allowing us to go out and leaf peep all we want. And that's a nice thing because, you know, oftentimes we get the big storms which then blow off the leaves so we don't get to see them in their glory. But, man, it's been actually stunning. And I always like to tell people when this time of the year comes, you know, they think about the leaf color. And I want you to take a look and watch those beautiful maple trees turn from green to yellow to red. Those are actually those yellows, those golds, those crimson colors. Those are actually the least true color. In fact, what happens during the growing season when days are longer and the sun is out in full force, the sun actually is food for the leaves, which, of course, is transformed into chlorophyll, which actually kind of masks the leaves' color. So they turn green. And, of course, when the days start to shorten and nights get longer, that chlorophyll is not available. So then the leaves go back to what they really should be colored. So when you're enjoying these leaves and the color, that's what you're seeing out there. So this is kind of nature's multicolored fall farewell to show everybody, number one, that the days are getting shorter. It's not Jack Frost, by the way, that's changing that leaf color. It's actually the fact that winter is approaching and dark hours are setting in fact, longer than the daytime hours. So point here is get out and enjoy them now because in the next couple of weeks, I hate to even say this, but we might be talking about flakes that are flying.
Oh, my goodness. I know that is true, but that doesn't mean that I want to hear it. So question, Rebecca, is it just the yellow leaves that what you explained is true for, or is that true for all the colors?
All of them. In fact, all of them. And that's what's really cool is that they are all masked by chlorophyll. And that's why when we look at leaves, unless they've been hybridized in some way, but when you look at the native plants, trees, foliage, the chlorophyll changes those leaves green.
That is really interesting. I had no idea, and that gives me a whole new appreciation of the beautiful colors that can be seen up and down the St. Croix River Valley right now. And, of course, as a part of that St. Croix River Valley, there is the Farm Store located on Main Street in Stillwater, Minnesota, that people can always go to visit and find you and or one of your colleagues to find out all kinds of more information about what's going on this year, this fall. Wonderful. Thanks, Rebecca. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley following local student news.
Reporting from the Shire, this is Alex Serrier from Stillwater Area High School. Stillwater Area High School celebrated homecoming this past week. In football, Stillwater Ponies defeated Moundsview for a homecoming win, 31-13. The homecoming royalty was crowned during Friday's Pep Fest. Queen Ava Coleman, King Austin Dowdle, Princess Elisa Hammers, and Prince Ben O'Malley. Jerry Anderson and Dorothy Dennis have been named 2016 Senior Homecoming Royalty. The two were crowned at Senior Citizen Homecoming King and Queen by Stillwater Area High School Student Council at Croy Dale Senior Center in Bayport. Pony Pride was on display from Afton to Marine and everywhere in between. Students from Stillwater Area High School painted the town red in what has become a homecoming tradition. Students decorated nearly 30 area businesses, painting windows and art with artwork and messages of school spirit. Matamidai also celebrated homecoming this past week. The Student Leadership Council coordinated the homecoming this past year. Everything from Pep Fest to the parade and the dance. Matamidai Zephyr varsity football team beat North High School 35-7 in their homecoming game October 7th. Matamidai boys soccer team beat Henry Sibley 5-0 in their game against them on October 6th. The girls' cross-country team placed 10th in a meet in Blaine on October 6th. The boys' cross-country team placed 8th in the same meet in Blaine on October 6th. This is Alex Serrier, podcast editor of Stillwater Area High School's Pony Express, reporting for the Shire Literary Center.
Local student news sponsored by Hannah's Homemade Heaven's Bakery, the official snack sponsor of Hashtag Hush Podcast, located on Churchill Street in Stillwater, next to Meister Bar and Grill, and a block southeast from Chilkoot Cafe. Hannah's Homemade Heaven's Bakery offers cookies, scones, donuts, cinnamon rolls, cakes, and fresh baked breads. Hannah's Homemade Heaven's Bakery, where there is no taste like homemade. Find Hannah's Homemade Heaven's Bakery on Facebook or visit them at 117 Churchill Street West in Stillwater.
Paperback writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and I am so happy to be here with my co-host and BFFD.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And our producer, Jenna. Hey, Jenna.
Hello.
Well, welcome, ladies. Hope you have your coffee, because we are in for an awfully good show today. Today, our topic is about turning pages in our lives and starting fresh no matter what happens to us. We have two amazing women joining us who both dealt with particularly traumatic situations, and instead of letting those difficulties overwhelm them, they persevered and started in a new and meaningful direction. And I just think they are both amazing. Yeah. So really powerful story sharing happening this morning. In the first half of our show, Shauna Bro will join us to talk about leaving an abusive relationship. And then in the second segment, student hosts Grace and Eleanor will interview Dr. Kelly Seth and hear about a head-on car collision that changed her life. Pretty powerful stuff, ladies. And I feel really honored that we can air this show today and have them on. So to start us out, I am delighted to welcome Shauna Bro. Shauna has said, "I believe in telling our complicated, beautiful, messy story as nothing is wasted and everything shapes us. We all have choices to let our story destroy us or encourage and impact others." And through sharing her own personal narrative and through her work with Stillwater's Healing, Shauna has chosen the latter, and I am already inspired. Welcome, Shauna. We are so grateful that you could join us today.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm excited.
Well, thank you for being on Voices in the Valley. And you have quite the story. Please tell me if I'm wrong, but this is the tale of a fairy tale gone bad, of Prince Charming, who ended up not being so wonderful.
Yes. And we all dream of Prince Charming and that fairy tale. And when it turns into the nightmare, we're not sure where to turn.
Well, I very much appreciate you sharing the story with us. And tell us, how did it begin?
You know, it began, I thought I met my Superman, my Prince Charming. Beautiful blue eyes, just very well put together, very charismatic, very caring. And, you know, it wasn't until probably about, I'd say probably 6 to 8 months in before the just the verbal part of kind of a little slip here or there, just kind of making you feel like you weren't really worth having somebody like that next to you.
Mm. Can you give an example of what he might say?
I'm trying to think of an example right at the moment. You know, I would come out all dressed up, ready to go. You're really going to wear that?
Mm.
I think you should fix your hair.
Mm.
I don't like that lipstick. You know, when you come out of your room so excited and you just looked in the mirror and you think you look awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you need to lose weight.
Mm. Wow.
So it starts out small. And, you know, we are very hard on ourselves when we're young ladies.
Yeah.
So one person can say, oh, you should have cut your hair, or it should be, you know, blonde instead of, you know, dark, or that can just change your whole demeanor.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So how long did you date him before you became engaged?
You know, we ended up engaged after I found out I was having my son.
Okay.
So I think, oh boy, he was probably, I'm not sure if it was before I gave birth or a couple months after I gave birth.
Okay.
I'm thinking it was a couple months after. There's pieces that I've blocked out.
Wow, because they were just so traumatic and
yes.
so horrible.
Yes.
You know, I sometimes hear the analogy of a frog being in hot water on a stove, and that you are in it, and it just the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and you don't realize, you don't have the context or the objectivity to step back and realize what's happening to you because it just is so subtle and it builds upon itself. Did you find that happening at all for you with the situation you were in with your fiancé?
Yes, and that's great how you put that. I say, you know, you can see a situation of, you know, even at school when you go to a school.
Yeah.
You know, my son just is now in high school, but in middle school, you go there and you can see right away when that little boy tells that little girl, oh, you look ugly today. I don't like your pants. And you realize that when you hear it. But when you're in it, yes, you don't even realize how mean somebody can be or how those words can affect you when it's happening to you, because you think, oh, maybe those pants don't look as good as they should, or or maybe, ooh, maybe I should have thought about what I was doing, or that dinner doesn't taste that great. What was I thinking? That recipe isn't that awesome. You don't. It builds.
So what opened your eyes? What were some of the things that started to make you aware that you were in a relationship that was not good for you?
You know, I think the real part happened. I had taken a new job. This gets in a little personal, but I had taken a new job here in Stillwater, and I kind of thought something was going on, but wasn't sure. And he was always accusing me of having an affair or having another relationship. And I don't know, it was just that gut feeling that something was going on. So that day, I was actually starting a new job. It was the day before Thanksgiving of 2002. And I was starting a new job, and I started driving to work, and I paid for the cell phone bills. And I thought, you know, this just isn't right.
Yeah.
So I actually picked up the phone, called his cell phone number, and went into his voicemail.
Mm.
And I heard a girl talking about coming to meet him at our home.
Oh, my goodness.
So I left Stillwater with this. I got a brand new baby.
Yeah.
He was born in July. And I went home and I thought, no, it can't be happening to me.
Yeah.
And I went home and I sat there and I was in my garage and I sat there. And when he pulled in the driveway and then the car pulled in behind him and I seen this lady and you're all of a sudden in this and you're just so upset. And at that point, it's still you don't realize you're the frog in the hot water yet.
Yeah,
I'm just so upset. Like, that's mine. That's my fairy tale. And she left, and he walked in the house, and he said, "How dare you? What is wrong with you? You don't show me attention. You're this. You're that. You're fat. You haven't lost your baby weight yet." And I was standing there, and I went up there and it all seems surreal as I say it because I've blocked out a lot of parts. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I sat there, and I don't even know what I said, but he pushed me, and I went down the stairs.
Oh, my goodness.
And I left, and I had this new job. I had just left my boss and told him, I'll be right back.
Wow.
And I went back to work, and that's where I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But how do you start to even leave your nightmare?
And that is such a great question, and I'd love for you to tell me about Turning Point, because I know they're a very powerful organization that can help victims and survivors of domestic and sexual violence find the strength and the new life that they need to start over. Can you tell me a little bit about Turning Point?
Yes, they are a nonprofit that helps people that have been affected by domestic and sexual violence. They are out of River Falls, Wisconsin, so they help the St. Croix River Valley area. And, you know, I didn't leave that day. I went back thinking there was something wrong with me. So it didn't happen until January, February that I actually, the situation got worse and I left and went to Turning Point. They help with safety plans. They have an emergency shelter. That is one service I didn't use, but I hear some great things about it. They do goal planning, safety plans. They have support groups. They have kids advocates that do support groups and one-on-one just support and assistance, whether you need housing, employment. And the ladies there, and there's men volunteers as well, they just have a way to touch you and to touch your lives in the fact that they understand what you're going through. I love my mom to death.
Yeah.
But unless you've been in that situation, you're not sure how to support somebody.
Yeah.
So my mom has been a rock. But until you're in that situation,
yeah,
you can give advice, but you have no idea how to go. So they were able to hold my hand through it.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like a wonderful nonprofit. And I'm going to give the 24-hour text hotline. It is 715-821-8626. That is 715-821-8626, and someone who can help is just a text away. Shauna, thank you so much for sharing your story. You are most definitely making an impact on others, not only through being real with your personal narrative, but also through the work that you do with Stillwater Healings. So thank you. Do you have a website people can go on to find out about Stillwater Healings?
Yes, it's www.stillwatershealing.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Shauna. Next up on Voices in the Valley, student hosts Eleanor and Grace interview Dr. Kelly Seth about her remarkable recovery from a head-on car collision in India. Stay tuned after the barn-raising moment with financial expert Jeff Regal.
The contents of this broadcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended for investment advice. Jeff Regal is a licensed representative of Waddell & Reed Financial Advisors, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC.
This is Steph. You've joined us for our barn-raising moment here on Voices in the Valley. Back in the olden days, pioneers would gather to raise a barn for each other. Today, in a similar way, experts in the community share tips and resources that will build up the lives of our audience. Today, financial planner Jeff Regal joins us to discuss frugal living, maximizing your dollar, and effectively budgeting. Jeff, welcome back. Did you do anything fun over the last month?
Thanks, Stephanie. You bet. My family and I just got back from our annual trip to the Pumpkin Patch, you know, down in Afton. We took a hayride, drank some cider, and had a great time. It really made me think about how the benefits of enjoying life on a shoestring budget.
Ah, shoestring budget. So you've helped a lot of folks that are coming from all walks of life, not just those who are quote-unquote wealthy.
Absolutely. You know, young kids and couples just starting out, families with kids going to school, people who have changed careers or are about to retire or who are on a fixed income. We've all had times in our life when we had to tighten the belt and, you know, do more with less.
We're all more similar than we're different, aren't we? What's the most common theme among folks who need to maximize their dollars?
Prior planning prevents poor performance. I know it's a cliche, but when you plan ahead and are thoughtful and aware of what's going around in your finances, then you can get the maximum benefit with a minimum expense. If your money and your 13 areas of wealth management are your house, then your budget is the bedrock that the house rests upon. Your financial plan is the blueprints that you build your home rather than just slapping some boards together and hoping it all works out.
Building on a bedrock rather than on sand?
Exactly, Stephanie. Some folks don't know where their money's going or are living, you know, with revolving debt like credit cards, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and never getting ahead. Even folks who are making six and seven figures. And that can be extremely stressful, causing sleepless nights, upset stomachs, and a host of mental and physical problems.
Wow. What can people do to stop that stress and right the ship?
The target that is easiest to hit is the one you can see. You know, so create a budget of what's happening right now. You know, once you've decided that you can take control of your financial life, you can commit to work with someone to help reach your goals. Someone who acts like a coach and someone you know and trust and will focus on the future. Say to yourself, this is the first day of the rest of my life. And now that I can see the path, I can walk the path. Once you've dialed in your cash flow and your budget, then you can start worrying about the other foundation pieces. An emergency fund, protecting your income, and planning for the future.
That's really helpful. Thanks, Jeff. If someone wanted to learn more about getting those building blocks in place, where can they go?
Stephanie, there's a lot of information online, but I really recommend talking to someone in person so you can focus on the things that are important to you personally and what strategies work best for you. You know, 123 plus G, Grand Guard, Ramsey, they may not be the best strategy for your particular situation.
Okay, I don't know what any of those things are, but I am hearing you say that one size doesn't fit all, and that is very helpful. Thanks again, Jeff. So glad you can make it today. If you would like to hear more about budgeting, building a strong financial foundation, feel free to contact Jeff Regal at jregal@wradvisors.com. I'm going to spell that J-R-I-E-G-L-E at WRADVISORS.com. He is always happy to talk about his passions for the environment, veterans, engineering, and tabletop gaming. Thanks, Jeff, for sharing your experience on Voices in the Valley. Listen in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on the Club 1220. This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and if you're just tuning in, you are joining us for the last half of our show where student hosts interview our guests. Today, Eleanor and Grace, ninth graders in the Stillwater School District, join us to interview Dr. Kelly Seth. Welcome, Eleanor and Grace.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. Everything going well with school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for the listening audience, there was much nodding. So if, you know, the response verbally didn't seem enthusiastic, at least there was head nodding. Well, Eleanor, could you just say hello so we can hear your voice?
Hi, I'm Eleanor.
And Grace?
Hi, I'm Grace.
There you go. It's super good to have you here. And it's also great to have Dr. Seth. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about her, and then we'll introduce her and turn the interview over to you. How's that sound?
Okay. Yeah.
More nodding. We need a camera in here to live stream at the same time. Well, Dr. Kelly graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1997 with a pre-medicine focus. She accomplished her double majors in entomology and zoology with several academic scholarships and repeated honors on the dean's list. Dr. Kelly then graduated from Northwestern Chiropractic College in 2013 with honors and a focus on neurology and nutrition. And while her academic credentials are impressive, I have to say, wouldn't you ladies agree?
Yes.
More head nodding. What is perhaps even more intriguing is that Dr. Seth has wanted to be a healer since she was 3 years old. As a child, she would often bring injured salamanders and other wildlife home to resuscitate, and she has always been fascinated with life and biology, and her zest for world travel took her to India. But while there, a head-on car collision sent her to the hospital as the sole survivor. Healing herself was a bit more complicated, you can imagine, than healing a salamander, and the collision in India turned a page in her life. I can't wait to hear this story, ladies. Welcome, Dr. Kelly, to Voices in the Valley.
Hi, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
We are really excited to be here, and I'm just going to sit back and relax and turn this interview over to Eleanor and Grace, and I know we're going to hear a great story. Go for it, ladies.
Okay, so Dr. Kelly, you shared in your bio about your interest in healing and where it comes from. Could you tell us about this a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I remember actually started out in the back roads. I lived on a dirt road in Anoka when I was a young girl, and there was a lot of wildlife. And as you can imagine, a young person like myself, I was out exploring and finding things along the road and things that I could catch at that young age of being three, four, five years old. And I, you know, at a very young age, I was fascinated by the systems of biology and how can something be alive and then something not work anymore? Like, what happened in that process? And so that's where I started to really question, well, why? What happened? Why can't this frog jump now that it used to be a moment ago and I squeezed it too hard and now it can't? So really, that's where the intrigue started at a very young age. And I thought, well, and I have a really big heart for animals, you know, hence my double major in undergrad was entomology, which is the study of insects, and zoology, which is obviously the study of animals. And so I had such a heart. I really wanted to help these animals live. Why can't they come back? What's going on in their bodies? And that's where it really all began.
Wow, that's really interesting. So could you tell us about what happened to you in India?
Yes, I actually had a one-way ticket to India and was planning to live there and never come back because it was such an awesome place.
Wow.
Yes. Actually, I was with my fiancé and my friend who was from South Africa at the time. So the three of us were traveling, and my fiancé, Dave, said, you know what? I want to get you to this meditation center by morning, so we are going to drive through the night, and you guys can sleep and relax, and when you wake up, we're going to be right where we need to be at our destination. However, we never made it to our destination, and I woke up, I don't know how much longer, because no one survived the accident to tell me how long I was in a coma for. And I woke up in a hospital near Mumbai in India, and that's kind of where my new life started.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. So how does what happened in India affect your chiropractice today?
Well, what I went through gave me a lot of different perspective, because prior to my accident,
I had prided myself in being an athlete because I was a competitive triathlete that I placed in a lot of my races and felt a lot of identity with that. I was also I was an art major for a while in my undergrad as well, so I felt very connected to being an artist, and I was a biochemist for a while after I graduated from my undergraduate. So I really identified with different areas of being an intellect and an artist and an athlete. And after my accident, I was none of those. I couldn't run. I couldn't write. I could barely speak. I had to learn how to spell. And so I really went, oh my gosh. Well, who am I? If I'm none of those, what am I? Who am I? And I went, wow, wait a minute. I get to be me. And so by having all those experiences and realizing I get to be me, I have an understanding of what a lot of people must feel and go through when they have trials, struggles, health issues that prevent them from doing or being what they feel that their, you know, their full potential is. And so I feel like I have a true sympathy, empathy, and an understanding for a lot of the struggles that people go through, and it helps me become a better doctor because of it.
Okay. So you studied entomology and zoology in college, and then you became a personal trainer, and now you're a chiropractor. And so how did those connect for you?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. They actually, so I love to move. So I was, as I said earlier, I was an athlete. I also did low-flying trapeze and performance art. I was a dancer growing up as well. And so I love to move. I love movement and studying how the body moves and then incorporating biology and science with that, which is my other passion. It just made perfect sense that I could use my hands. I could help people's bodies. I understand the mechanics of it. And putting it all together and creating a healing art, which is like full circle for me, and then I'm really in my ultimate passion of the work that I do.
I think this is all so interesting, and I must admit, I am so curious that I want to take us back to India again,
okay,
if I may, because
yes,
that's a really remarkable story, and I want to just be sure that I heard it right.
Mm-hmm.
So you were in the car with your fiancé and your friend,
mm-hmm,
and you were the sole survivor.
Yes, I found out later on that we were hit head-on by a logging truck. And the rumor was the car was in three pieces. And I believe I must have gone through the windshield to have survived it. I'm not quite sure because I did have a lot of stitches on my scalp, my head, hence the brain injury. I'm missing the speech area of my brain. They said I would never walk or talk again. But miracles happen. My brother flew out and he got me and brought me back home, where I went to a brain surgeon and he said, wow, well, and that was before we really understood a lot about the brain. We're still learning so much about the body and the brain to this day. But that time they said, we're not sure if you're going to heal from this. We really don't know. So if you have a seizure, give us a call. Otherwise, good luck. And so I wasn't, I was kind of really under my own guise of how to help and heal myself, because I wasn't getting any help from the medical doctors, especially the brain surgeon. So I had to learn how to rehab and help and heal myself.
So did your background in entomology, zoology, and helping those salamanders and all that wildlife way back when, were you able to draw upon that then to sort of heal yourself?
Absolutely. You'd be surprised by how much little bits of information that you gather in your lifetime and your experiences that really kind of help you put pieces together. So I studied herbs. I studied homeopathy. I studied body movement mechanics just to help my body move again. And so, yeah, it all kind of pulled together and helped me really understand. I remember I went to my general practitioner. I said, okay, as a family doctor, I said, this is what's wrong. My pituitary gland is damaged. And this is the reason why, this and this and that. And he said, you know what? I totally agree with you. You are right on. Do you want synthetic hormones, sleeping pills, or antidepressants?
Oh, wow.
And I said, wow, no, no, you didn't hear me. It's my pituitary gland. That's what's damaged. I need to fix that. And he said, oh, no, that's not what we do. Again, do you want those three different prescription options? And I said, that's not an option. I need to heal this. And so that's why I started searching on my own to figure it out.
Oh, my goodness. I wish we had so much more time. And I hate, there's a little sign they make that means 30 seconds in radio. It's like a backwards C, and I hate that sign. So, Dr. Kelly, for people like me who are like, please tell me more, can we contact you and how?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have a holistic chiropractic practice in Stillwater, right off of Myrtle Street, Myrtle in Maine. And I have a website at my under the name of my business, Healing River Chiropractic. And so you can look me up. I have an email there. You can email me any way you can get a hold of me. It'd be just fine.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Eleanor and Grace, thank you as well for your questions.
Thank you.
And they were great questions. And Dr. Kelly Seth, thank you for being here on Voices in the Valley. For our listeners out there, if you're just tuning in, you've been listening to Voices in the Valley here on the Club 1220 and an interview with Dr. Kelly Seth. Next week on Voices in the Valley, Jenna from St. Croix Prep interviews Senator Karen Housley and Representative Kathy Lohmer and talks to them about creative writing and storytelling.